Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Oh my god. It's time! Huh. So ready.
So ready!
God, it's good to be back. Hi there! I remember how this works. It's been about a month, and I think it's all in place. And good morning, and thank you for your patience over the summer. We're back streaming live on the YouTube and everything. If you go to youtube.com/nottodaypod, that's where this is right now. If it's now, if it's not now, then it's not now, is it? You know what I'm saying? I've just got back from dropping my kid off, his first day back at school. Never really fully understood all of the sort of social media things that sort of insecure self-conscious parents do on social media of kind of, oh, popping the champagne corks, it's that magic day of the year. I just feel a bit sort of broken and weepy, frankly, but I'm pretty sure Spike's doing fine. Anyway, welcome to everyone watching on YouTube. Hello, Neil. Hello, Jane. Hello, Julie. Hello, Gemma. And that's everyone I can see who's said good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. It is very much back to school time.
It's back to school time across the country, and we've got some great savings and deals for you. There's 10% off all book. There's only one until Saturday, and this B-roll handwriting pen is great if you still have hands, because it's back to school time. We understand you obviously haven't yet learned the true interpretation of Sharia law, and so it's back to school time across the country as it falls to us, your new Taliban educators. Learn fast. Back to school, unless you're a girl.
If only there was such a thing as foreign secretary school, then again, I think I know who'd flunk it.
Every day the papers pump out endless streams of hate. The fifth
not this guy.
They will propagate. But who can penetrate the ramparts of the fourth estate? Mick Wright, a.k.a. Broken Bottle Boy. Mick Wright, a.k.a. Broken Bottle Boy.
Hey! Hey! That literally sounded like a smashing glass. That was very cool. Good morning to you, Mick Wright.
Good morning to you, Jack. Yeah.
Journalist and all the doings. Just he loves his own industry and his contemporaries. Couple of things to talk about today. In your amazing newsletter. It's brokenbottleboy.substack.com. Get an early plug in. The first thing is my coffee's arrived. Thanks so much. I went the wrong way. Yeah, I can't look in the mirror and make it work. Anyway, thank you. Bye. Great. Awful seg into the very sad and untimely death of Sarah Harding.
Yes, indeed.
I should have done. Yeah. Do you know what the death breath is?
No, give me. It's a radio thing.
It's a newsreader's thing.
Right. Okay. Demonstrate this for me.
So this comes after an obituary. So you would say, Lenny Bennett, who died today in sport.
So it's just a little transition.
The death breath.
To make it less grim that you've literally just trundled straight into.
So
in lighter news, a fox that knows how to dance
the
to hardcore
has finally
music
done
has been found.
Yeah. So after we've talked about Sarah Harding, we'll do a death breath before we go into Rod Little. And when I say go into Rod Little...
Yeah, I mean, in the case of Rod Little, I would like the death breath to be a sort of former Bruce Lee-style move where you can breathe on Rod Little.
Okay.
Precipitating his death.
A death rattle. Sure.
Yeah. Anyway, Yeah. So, obviously, Sarah Harding's on the front page of pretty much all the newspapers this morning, in various, with varying degrees of suitable photograph. Actually, surprisingly, the Sun probably has the most, you know, like
restrained,
sensible, restrained picture that wow. they've gone for. But the Sun's compatriots at the Times, who you got to remember are just like Sun journalists with more expensive thesauruses, put out an obituary yesterday, which is genuinely appalling on any number of levels. It's presented as a very sort of straight, this is just an obituary, whatever, but throughout it there are so many lines where you just go, oh, interesting, that's very sneering. So the top line, pop singer, model, actress and former Pizza Hut waitress, and you go,
wow,
interesting. Like, do anybody else's pre-fame jobs get mentioned? You know, Donald Rumsfeld, former defense secretary and once a minor servant of Satan. It just doesn't happen. And you get things like mention of her tattoo in the second paragraph. The very first line is, Sarah Harding ticked all the boxes, have come to define a certain type of modern British celebrity.
Excuse me.
Yeah. And then it goes on. This is the part that where I was reading along, I thought, well, that's quite bad, but this is where it gets very bad. Cynics might argue that her celebrity was based more on style than substance, yet such a judgment would be harsh. And then you go,
but you just did it.
You wrote it.
Yeah.
And now you're pretending you didn't write it by sort of doing this kind of rollback.
That's the equivalent of Ricky Gervais doing a racist joke and then saying you can't say that.
Yeah.
Which now, was a real vogue in comedy about 15 years ago.
So then they have a paragraph, a couple of paragraphs, and one that talks about the fact that four of Girls Aloud's singles, The Peerless, Sound of the Underground, I'll Stand By You, Walk This Way, The Promise, went to number one. Many other great songs that they don't mention. And that they had six platinum albums before they broke up in 2013. But this is where we get to the bit which shows you that they did not get a pop writer to even look at this obituary. So their style was formulaic pop, but the group had some heavyweight fans in the rock genre, including U2's Bono and Coldplay's Chris Martin, who called them the ultimate form of life. Several of their hits were smartly chosen covers of well-known rock songs. Not since ABBA and Michael Jackson has pure pop been so unanimously praised, the Times enthused. And you think, right, they were a brilliant pop band, right? Mm-hmm. And Xenomania, that did produce many of their biggest hits, right, were revolutionary in that era for these incredible pop productions. Mm-hmm. But no, we have to have them justified by the like two of the most boring men in rock music, as if without the quotations from rock men, this band is of not, you know, wouldn't be worth talking about unless the rock
proper musicians enjoyed Girls
even
Aloud.
Them, yeah. You know. And then they, of course, they go through her relationships and stuff and talk about controversy and hypocrisy and all this. It's quite grim. Big section on her parents' marriage problems for some reason.
Wow.
It's you know, I as you go through, you find yourself thinking,
Would you want to be remembered for your parents' marriage problems, wouldn't you, mate?
Yeah. And from the fact that I once was an usher at Norwich Theatre Royal, I'd like Mick Wright, journalist, broadcaster, and former theatre usher.
Yeah. I'd like to be remembered as Jake Yap, unsuccessful painter of one face at Deptford Swimming Baths. Circa 1991. You don't want to know. That's why it was only one. I think they wanted a lion, and it was the worst thing you've ever seen. It was
The thing about this that really gets me is if you said this to them, they'd say, "Well, it's a very respectful obituary." But you go, but it's very clear. The snideness is transparent in it.
Yeah.
You know, and the cynics might argue thing. The cynics don't get. I'm thinking tomorrow that what I might do is pull obituaries of some of the worst people that the Times have ever written about if the cynics' perspectives on those people were included. Because I suspect that Donald Rumsfeld's obituary, in fact, I remember reading it, was more sympathetic than the obituary of this 39-year-old woman whose worst crime was being in an excellent pop band.
Yeah.
But it's so sneering. Yeah.
Who, frankly, plied an honest trade. She was in one of the most fascinating films of all time, which I have seen several times and never tire of, which is Run for Your Wife.
Oh, yes, the extremely bad production of the extremely bad theatrical farce.
Could you do a good production? I don't know if you've seen that film. It's well worth routing out.
Is it the one with Danny Dyer?
It's the one with Danny Dyer.
And well, I have watched most of Danny Dyer's theatrical oeuvre.
Okay, well, that's sort of where I was going to go with this, because Sarah Harding was in it. I mean, this is amazing. It cost, I think, £900,000 to make. And their opening box office weekend takings were, I think, something like 700 quid. It was a catastrophic flop. And, you know, there's a lot of bad stuff in there. There's homophobia dripping out of every orifice. Ironic, really. And it's like a sort of who's who of people that you can't really put on screens anymore from the 70s. I mean, there's no Jimmy Savile, sadly, all too late for Jimmy Savile, but all the other greats are in there.
Did you see this, on a side note, did you see that GB News is very upset that the council in Sheffield cancelled a Chubby Brown gig and are saying, well, what are things coming to if Roy Chubby Brown cannot do a gig?
Yeah, anything? If a simple, we did, honest racist.
We did sort of cancel Roy Chubby Brown many years ago for the fact that he is a virulent racist, homophobe, rampant misogynist, in any number of ways. The fact that he can still tour anywhere, he should think himself lucky. Imagine if Bernard Manning was still existing. GB News would get him on to be their comedy. Oh, yeah. Here's our... And now our comedy correspondent.
Manning the lifeboats, right?
In the council culture war.
Yeah. Here I am in Dover. Anyway,
I think they'd make him the barman in Nigel Farage's pretend bar that he has on his show.
I honestly feel like I need to actually write out the sketch of Manning the lifeboats. Anyway, my point was that Danny Dyer was in that film too. And he, I remember him, I saw him interviewed.
That's Dad Danny Dyer rather than Daughter Danny Dyer for younger listeners.
Dad Danny Dyer, yeah. And I saw him interviewed and he sort of said, he basically said, look, I've got to make a living. I've got kids and I've got to feed them. Sure, I'm in some really terrible films, but I have to put bread on the table and here's the work I can get, so I take it. And of course, now he's Danny Dyer, beloved custodian of the wall and all of that stuff. And that's great. But it really sort of struck home that I thought, yeah, like he's just doing his job. He's just being an actor doing a job. And that's what Sarah Harding was doing in that. And that's what she did as a pop musician. She's just doing a job.
Yeah. And the thing that gets me with it as well is that, like, you can be snide. You can be very snide about manufactured pop bands, right? But many artists that people obsess over were manufactured in a sense. Yeah. And like, it's kind of meaningless thing. Also, they work incredibly hard. Yeah. If you're in a pop band, you are worked to the inch of your life on these huge tours and stuff. And also, you have to be talented. You have to have some charisma. You have to have something.
I'd kind of rather someone was in a band because they were the best person out of thousands of people that were auditioned, rather than, well, it was my mate down the chip shop. That's not necessarily going to be the best person in a band.
It's harder to be a member of Girls Aloud than it is to be a bassist in any indie rock band ever.
Exactly. And I've always had a deep, non-ironic love for Steps. And also S Club 7. And it was interesting what you were saying about the production on those songs. This is kind of an aside now, but Sharon Studios, which was just like some basement on a housing estate on the outskirts of Stockholm. They, from this little tiny sort of innocuous looking place, they were making all of the real global hit songs for like Britney Spears and Backstreet Boys and Steps and like...
Yeah, Max Martin.
Is that who it was?
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing songs. Beautiful, brilliant songs, I think.
But this is, there's something that I'm going to write for paid subscribers as a newsletter soon. I was going to do it yesterday and I basically just ran out of energy. But so I was looking back to the Modern Review and the way that Toby Young and Julie Burchill and Cosmo Landsman had this thing where they were like, oh, we take pop music seriously, you know, we take pop culture seriously.
Yeah.
And that ended up basically being A, they've talked that up into a legend, which is sort of fake, but what would you expect from those people.
Yeah.
But also what happened was then the places like Sunday Times retooled the culture supplement to be these places that take pop culture seriously. But even when they do, they sort of go, look at this. It's pop music, but like you, an intelligent person, are allowed to like it, rather than just going, your pop music's amazing, and like even at its most stupid, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, and I think the notion that like liking pop music is sort of that there's this special way of liking it for you know, white guys that also have all the rock classics in their archives. It's like the poptimism thing was just quite patronizing in a sense, because it's like, look, we also like pop music, but we like it in a very intelligent way because we're familiar with the works of Derrida or whatever. It's
we kind of get it on a level that you don't. I hated all of that around the ABBA revival, with people saying, look, at their heart, these are Swedish folk songs. It's like, no, they're just really great tunes, man. They're really great. I defy you to write one that good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
anyway.
Hang on. Ready?
It's a horrible obituary.
It is. A horrible obituary. Undeserved.
And, rest in peace, Sarah Harding. Sorry that we had to connect you to the terrible Times newspaper.
Ready? Rod Little is an absolute tool. I really wanted to swear so bad. Of all the times I've ever wanted to swear, that was the one. He's at it.
Yes, Rod is at it again. So he had a column over the weekend, which was about his nostalgia for the 70s, right? And the thing that I've used this fact so many times, but what year was the final episode of I Love 1999 broadcast in?
2011.
2001. It was broadcast 1 year, 10 months, and 4 days after the year it was nostalgic for
last
had
Tuesday.
Completed.
Brilliant.
Also, who presented the first episode of I Love the 1970s?
Gotta be the Herpy Cornflake, the Dave Lee Travis.
No, Jingle Jangle, it was Jimmy Savile.
Oh, my God. Well, you don't see that. Why do they not repeat, though? Those are really great shows.
You will never see it repeated, but it is available on YouTube should you wish to consume that. Anyway, the point being, so he does this classic thing of talking about the 70s and how he loves the 70s, right? So what are the things that he wants back from the 70s? Heinz Toast Toppers. They were only discontinued in 2015. And if you want them, there are knockoff versions available in B&M.
That feels like a kind of cat vomity thing.
Yeah. David Owen. Who is still alive.
Yeah, okay.
And in the House of Lords, age 83. And Jesus Christ, who failed to return in the 70s also.
That feels like a cut. No, I'm not going to say
that. Yeah, okay. I thought that was good.
But wow.
I believe that Rod Little's real nostalgia for the 70s is because it was the Jurassic era of nonsense.
Oh, God.
So, In 2012, the dim and distant mists of 2012, Rod Little wrote a column for The Spectator.
I love 2012. Yeah.
And I'm just going to read you a little extract from it.
A little.
He said, and this was The Spectator thought that in 2012 this was a thing that someone should write in a national publication.
It was a very different time.
I seriously contemplated being a teacher once upon a time when I was a lot younger. It seemed to me an agreeable DOS, and I didn't have to be too bright or too ambitious or possess any quantity of knowledge. Using those skills, he became a columnist. Anyway, he said, I sometimes wondered what sort of teacher I prefer to be, but I never found out, because the one thing stopping me from being a teacher was that I could not remotely conceive of not trying to shag the kids. This was published in 2012. And he goes on to say, talk about various teachers who copped off. No, here's the thing that really, really gets me, right? He said, we're talking secondary school level here, by the way. And even then, I don't think I'd have dabbled much below year 10.
That's like 14.
That is 14-year-olds. So then he goes on to talk about
2012, and he's still employed.
He's still employed, gainfully employed, and regularly is on Times Radio doing the newspaper review, where Stig Abel, a man who will Abel the enabler, who will enable the man who was managing editor of The Sun at the time the Katie Hopkins refugees are like cockroaches column was produced. And remember, Sting Abel was then rewarded by becoming editor of the Times Literary Supplement, and now is paid handsomely to be launch director of Times Radio. By the way, another side point, I know on good authority that when he became presenter of Front Row, he didn't have to do any kind of interview. He was just dropped into place at Front Row, and meant that other presenters, female presenters, had their hours cut. So reduced the wages of some excellent female presenters who've been on the show for some time. So
talent will out.
What a talent. But it's okay. They haven't got space for Stig Abel at Radio 4 now because all the jobs must be taken by Amal Rajan. anyway,
with the Raj Little, against the machine, man.
So with the Rod Little thing, he basically the newsletter is free to read. Go click on the link, read the full column of his. It is horrendous. And of course, remember that Rod Little has, as well as justifying sex offences, he was also cautioned for assaulting his pregnant girlfriend, and has written a stream of racist columns. So, you know, incredible that he's still in the employ, really.
Mm. It's almost as if there was nothing but contempt in almost the entire
Oh, and the other thing that I so aside from that element of it, the Sunday Times thought it was justifiable in the year 2021 to write for him to write that in the 70s the middle class hadn't discovered dyslexia as an excuse for their offspring's stupidity either, nor the working class the medicalized redoubt of ADHD to explain the fact that their son was a menace. Approximately 50% of the illnesses we know today didn't seem to exist. ADHD and dyslexia were commonly known about in the 70s. They just weren't treated properly. And imagine being someone who has ADHD or dyslexia, or someone with a child who has either of those conditions, and just reading that in Sunday Times thinking, oh, brilliant. They don't bother to edit this. They just let this disgusting human just spit his bile in here. And what drives me particularly crazy about this is readers of the Times and Sunday Times will think themselves far superior to Sun readers, right? But they're not. The same disgusting invective is pumped into both those papers. Rod Little is a Sun columnist as well. And if you look at Rod Little's Sun columns, there is very little functionally or materially different between what he writes in the Sun and what he writes in the Sunday Times. And I had people saying to me once I put this newsletter out, they said, oh yeah, but he makes me laugh. And I thought, well, if Rod Little makes you laugh, you are a bad person.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it. You can't say, well, me. I don't, but yes. Of course I don't believe what he says, but I do think he's very funny. I think, well,
yes.
What is it that you find funny about, you know, the sex offender excusing, racism perpetrating, partner slapping Rod Little?
Oh, mate, you can't say anything these days. That's, I don't even know. Well, all of that sort of his.
I'm glad that I've turned up to deliver the funnies again every Monday.
I'm here all week.
Hilarious repartee.
Well, his kind of it's his insular view of the world, and his literal kind of isolation and insulation from the rest of society that makes him feel able to write those things chimes in brilliantly with. Another article that you wrote, I think, over the weekend, which people should go and look up. We're not going to talk about it here because they should go and check it out. It's brokenbottleboy.substack.com about commuting and all the newspapers telling
yes, that came out this
back
morning.
Into the office.
That came out this morning.
Yeah, it's well worth reading. Go and check it out because, you know, there. That's a tease. That's going to, mate, that's going to drive your traffic through the roof.
I know it's literally tens of people.
Aren't we doing well? Brilliant. Thank you so much. It's at Broken Bottle Boy on Twitter.
Indeed.
Are you at Broken Bottle Boy on the Twitch/Broken Bottle Boy?
Yes, that Twitch. Is TV also correct. And the show is back today at 1 p.m. for an exciting experience of newspaper deconstruction.
There you go. Do that. Mick, it's been lovely to see you.
See you next week.
Take care. Bye-bye. Well, good morning to the other viewers on YouTube. Hello, Jem. Hello, Steph. Hello, Pablo. Hello, Julie. Hello to some newcomers. Mavis Cruitt and Tikvar. I think there was someone else too. Mavis says, I thought the 70s were the worst, so if Corbyn took us back there, it was going to be terrible. There's a lot of myths about the winter of discontent and all that. It's worth checking that out. Jem says, oh God, I occasionally wonder who actually buys The Spectator and then realise I don't really want to know. Pablo says, teachers did it when I was at school, so why can't I? I should stress that's in quotation marks. That's not Pablo saying that. He says, The Spectator. Title takes on a chilling new meaning. Mavis says, we should cancel him, but you know, you get a TV show. Jem says, a teacher at my school married one of his sixth form pupils pretty much the moment she left school. He got surprisingly aggressive, if you ever mentioned it. And Tikvar says, my uncle was diagnosed with ADHD in the late 70s, if you don't mind. There you go. Well, thank you for all of that. The email is open. It's nottoday@swanburst.com. We're definitely going to do Britain Awake on Wednesday. I don't know if I can get hold of John Holmes. I will do my best, being controversial for coins. But irrespective of that, we're going to finally do something about cancel culture. Finally, giving straight white people a chance to have their say. Yeah, I mean, everyone is welcome. Everyone is welcome. Just like CBeebies. Everyone's welcome. Oh, I love CBeebies. It's funny. Spike, so, you know, a little bit of regression stuff in the run-up to school. And we watched a bit of CBeebies the other morning. Man, it's so good. I love those people so, so much. Anyway, Malcolm has emailed nottoday@swanburst.com. He says, hi, Jake and the apparatchiks. As ever, when I'm in an empty house and not locked in and there's a and there's a shouty speaker, you know, the ones that keep saying, I can't do that, Malk. The really irritating ones. I know the ones you mean, the smart speakers, the ones that keep telling me to kill John Holmes. What's that all about? Why does Alexa want me to... Weird. Anyway, he says, as always, I shout at my smart speaker to play Jake Yap. And hopefully it will keep playing on for the next 24 hours. I'm sure the extra 11p a year will help fund the legal battle for Kim's copyright battles. How's that going? Oh, well, thank you very much for asking. Maybe we'll give you a bit of an update on that. Kim, my partner, is an artist, and she gets ripped off, frankly, by a lot of people. You know, I'm saying choose your online bargain vendors carefully. Generally, if someone's name is not on it as the creator or artist, it's probably a knockoff. Anyway, Malk says, I was locked in for a bit. None of them would give me the safe word. But anyway, the tuning of one of the songs reminded me of Kurt Weill's 30s Berlin. Basically, it's mostly out of tune. Okay, how can I tell my fellow orchestra members that that's an effect and not something they should actually consider perfection when even most of their bows, okay, I'm talking about the string players, don't even touch the strings? Welcome back, Yap. Okay, wait, what? I don't fully understand. Hang on. What songs are you talking about? What are you talking... Malk, what are you talking about? Anyway, if you've got advice for how to tell a string player they're out of tune... I'm hopeless with tuning. You know, I've got a saxophone. My tuning on the saxophone is lamentable. Something wrong with my lipping. I don't know what it is. Anyway, Hedy says, it's Hedy. Brace yourselves. Dear Jape, have you seen those adverts where a young boy bites into the middle of a triangular-shaped sandwich? Who does that? No one. For one thing, it begins to cause structural instability in the rest of the sandwich. I agree. I'm not a triangle fan in terms of sandwich cutting generally anyway. He says they're triangular for a reason. Also, I went into a supermarket and all the people were just staring at the sandwiches for too long. I shouted at them, make your choice! I make my own sandwiches. P.S. I insist in a restaurant on having my pizza cut into the holy number 8. The Italian waiters hate me. I'm going to try various prime numbers next time. Okay. Well, there's Hedy's brain for you. I hope you all enjoyed that. Hey, it's good to be back here. Stay tuned across the week. Back on Wednesday, live on YouTube at 10. YouTube.com/nottodaypod. Why don't you subscribe now? And if you click on the bell thing, you know, the bell thing that you never click on, it'll tell you when I'm going live. And then you don't have to remember or anything. But do stay with us. We've got some sort of newsy announcements stuff to make. Stuff's going to be happening. That's all I'm going to say. Take care of yourselves. All the best. Lots of love. Bye-bye.
This has been a Swanburst Media production.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.